It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
In this 17th episode of our series, Reclaiming Forgiveness, we return to the question, what is confession? Confession is a crucial stage in the process of true forgiveness. As we heard in the previous podcast, it's that point at which shams are over and realities have begun. Confession is that deep, life-giving dynamic of repentance, finding intentional expression to those who have been wronged by one's words or actions. Here are seven qualities of genuine confession. Others, such as Jim Van Eperen of Metanoia Ministries, the author of Making Peace, reinforces the identity of these qualities as well. The first quality of genuine confession is that confession is first to God. As we dealt with in the preceding podcast, Why Confess to God?, we first confess our wrong to God. This is because all wrong, all sin, whether limited to the intimacy of our thought life or involving another human, is committed against God. Remember Psalm 51, verse 4? David prayed, "Against you, against God, and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." So genuine confession is first toward God. Second, genuine confession is personal. This means that confession is not indirect, but personal and direct. Speak to the person or persons you have offended or injured. Don't use an intermediary, and if possible, avoid putting your confession in writing, such as a letter or email. These can sometimes be counterproductive if later used as quote-unquote evidence. The confession of the prodigal son was made directly and personally to his father. It's a great example. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." Luke 15, verse 21. It's best to meet face to face. This gives the best context for open, clear communication. As Van Eperen suggests, begin with a personal opening statement such as, "Paul, I want to speak to you and I want to ask your forgiveness." So genuine confession is personal. It's direct. Thirdly, genuine confession is in context. In general terms, confession should take place in the same sphere in which the sin or offense was committed. If the offense is a wrong thought or motive that has not found expression in speech or action, the context for confession is between you and God alone. If you did or said something to a person and just the two of you were present, then your confession is in the context of that other person only. If the wrong took place before others in a wider public context, that wider public context is the place for your confession. This is how those who have been wronged or have observed the wrong know that repentance has taken place and forgiveness is being requested. So the third is that genuine confession is in context. Fourth, confession is specific and succinct. You should name your offense or sin specifically yet briefly. For example, "Paul, I was wrong to have called you a fool." Your confession should admit that you violated a boundary of your relationship with that person. In the context of this example, Jesus makes it clear that an outburst of anger without cause, insults or demeaning language is a breach of relationship. Matthew 5, verse 21 to 26. So genuine confession is specific and succinct. Fifth, confession is unconditional and comprehensive. We dealt with this last week as well. You make no defense for your offense. Don't excuse your action with words like, "I did it because you," whatever, or "I was under a lot of pressure at work." Another common statement is, "If you were offended, I apologize." Come on. Genuine confession does not provide excuses. It does not use the word "if." Confess your sin for what it is. Genuine confession is unconditional and comprehensive. Sixth, confession promises change. Van Epern uses a good example of a person making a commitment. He uses the example of, I know that I have been using alcohol as a way to relieve my stress, and I'm going to AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, so that I stop drinking and never do this to you or anyone else again. This kind of confession maps out something that indicates you are working on the initial wrong or sin so that, by the grace of God, it does not happen again. So genuine confession promises change. Seventh, confession seeks full reconciliation. Reconciliation is the desired goal of the process of forgiveness. We will deal with that in more depth in a later podcast. Asking for the forgiveness of the other person is a healthy part of confession. It expresses the desire for the restoring or healing of the relationship. The aim of confession is to reestablish the relationship fully, not simply to get rid of the burden of your sin or offense. In some cases, much time has passed and people have moved away or the actual relationship just can't be restored, for example, in a divorce remarriage situation. However, forgiveness can take place in releasing the other offending party from his or her offense. So genuine confession seeks full reconciliation. Here's an illustration taken again from Jesus' story of the prodigal son we read about in Luke 15. The son expresses his repentance in his confession, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Enough has been heard. The rest is interrupted by the father's commands to his servants as they prepare to celebrate a relationship returned to life. Wonderful story. What do you think? Some may argue that this is too hard or too humiliating. The process of forgiveness is neither easy nor cheap. Whether you are the offender or the offended, there is cost and pain involved in the journey of forgiveness. Also keep in mind the cost, pain, and lasting loss of not pursuing the path of forgiveness. Wrecked relationships, alienated people, anger and bitterness that continue, enduring regret are only some of the wounds that never heal. Where would we be if God Himself did not engage in the process of forgiveness? What if He just wrote us off and moved on? The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is the evidence that forgiveness is neither easy nor cheap. Remember Ephesians 4, verses 32, and Colossians 3, verse 13, where we read, "Forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you." Is there someone to whom you need to confess your wrong and ask forgiveness? In our next podcast, we'll identify four qualities of true forgiveness.
You've been listening to John B. McDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. McDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.